Dear Shooter, we defeated socialism at the polls and elected Donald Trump instead. You wisely followed our advice for the last 6 months, stockpiling food, fuel, and ammo. You might be looking around going, okay, Trump won. There aren't riots in the streets, and we didn't kick off a civil war. So now what? Dust off those firearms, take a class, go to the range. Start competing. Educate your kids.
It's not about protecting the stupid. It's just, it is what it is.
I don't know if you know this, but I'm a self-identifying llama. And it's because I have a quick temper and I like to spit.
You are not safe and you are not sacred and you're both liars.
We're talking about firearms now.
Keep it clean.
I can hide one under there.
One what? I want to know.
I looked like I got ran over by a paint truck on the way to Sherwin-Williams and then backed over by the short bus.
You know, let's talk about the modern trends in transsexual transitions.
Welcome to the Dear Shooter podcast. Dear Shooter is brought to you by WyoTech, empowerment through self-reliance, and by Lucid Optics, on target, under budget.
And that's the podcast. I mean, you just said everything I had to say.
I find it absolutely hilarious that she leads out with educate your kids.
Yeah, and your mic just went out. He's going to have to fix it now. And we're back.
I find it funny that she leads out with educate your kids. And then Colander, right on the intro, says it's not about protecting the stupid.
Well, yeah.
I don't know that you did that on purpose.
I don't know. She doesn't. It all just falls out. So yeah, now what? Now we start getting back to going and having fun again.
Well, all of this ammo that I loaded while I was watching politics, I'm going to go spend some of it.
Right? Right? And guilt-free.
Absolutely guilt-free.
I don't know about you all, but I still have hunting to do.
Yeah, got that going on. Although the Wapiti have not really been cooperating this year.
We haven't had winter yet.
No, we haven't. Which is odd, because Colorado just got hammered.
Well, northern Colorado did, yeah. Bad.
Yeah, you were telling me what? Like, well, we had a friend of ours that was telling me, yeah, 30 inches.
Yeah, but then down the hill in the same location for most part.
Nothing.
A half an inch, maybe.
Such is winter.
Well, when you live on a mountain.
At the top of it.
That's what happens.
So, but no, you're absolutely right. You were saying this just before we went on, that the pressure's off now. Now we can get back to actually doing things for enjoyment and focus on it. We're not doing anything in a panic now.
Yeah, and while you say the pressure's off, we've only got a couple of years to actually get some stuff done.
Agreed.
And we're finally going to be in control of both Senate and the House.
All right.
So keep your eye on the prize here. I mean, it's not over.
Well, yeah, and you know, I hate to say it, but Republicans are notorious for snatching defeat from the jaws of victory.
Oh boy, isn't that the truth?
But no, I'm optimistic now that at least I can go and actually enjoy firearms and enjoy training again without the pressure of, oh my God, I may have to use this stuff.
I'm going to go enjoy what I was hoarding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am too. Because I've loaded, I don't know how many thousands of rounds in the last couple of months.
Well, it's what I do when I'm mad mugging the TV.
So go join a competition. Let out the anger.
That's a whole different set of pressure I don't know that I'm ready for.
Well, yeah, and that usually ends in anger, too, or at least drowning my sorrows.
We'll find out when your turret's been turned. And
oh, God! So, all right, your intrepid host here. Went out this year and high aspirations. I was going to go get another really nice whitetail, match the one that I got last year, and I brought home a nugget.
It was cute.
That's because I shot the big one.
Well,
sorry.
Yeah, but I took your advice, and I looked through the right end of the scope, and it makes things look bigger.
Yeah, well, she'll eat good for about two meals.
And I watched this thing haul develop about 350 yards out. Wasn't exactly a challenging shot. He settles in behind the rifle and just airballs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then did it again. Like, the deer didn't move. We were hunting suppressed, and they didn't know what was going on. But, yeah, I mean, right over the back.
My point there, knowing that you'd lead that direction, is it can happen to anybody.
Oh, God.
Those
and then
guys that have their egos tucked up underneath their pants so hard that they can't hardly walk, it happens to them, too.
Oh, yeah. It does. And it was funny, too, because I'm like, I know this gun's on. I know my dope's right. I'm using all the right settings because I double-checked it, shot again, airballed again, and I'm like, what is going on? I look up, and I realize that my turret's a minute and a half off.
Now, you only know that if you actually index it after you get done zeroing. But
right. Well, what had happened was, during our veteran hunt, I had loaned my rifle to someone, and in whatever process of doing whatever they were doing, they spun the turret.
But as a good hunter, yes, you should have checked.
I should have checked it when I got back. But I, why would I? I knew it was on, and I even told them. I said, just don't mess with it.
Because someone else had your firearm. Always check it.
Always check it. Always check it. And we hammer on that all the time. And that's one of the... We say that that's one of the disadvantages to a first focal plane milscope is that if you're dialing, because sometimes you flat run out of reticle and you can't adjust it with magnification, and you have to dial it back.
You got to put it back to original settings, otherwise your zero is fucked.
Right, factory reset.
That's the one number one discipline. The whole reason a zero stop came into play.
Mm-hmm.
Is people were forgetting to set it back.
Mm-hmm.
And they still forget to set it back. You can have all the gizmos on the planet and still screw it up. You can be a firearms instructor and teach this stuff for a living and still screw it up.
Yeah. Well, but that's why I'm so adamant about teaching holdovers. The less you have to mess with that thing, the less problems you're going to have.
Absolutely. And that's where I embrace the second focal plane world.
Right.
Because you can tune that to your rifle, your load,
mm-hmm.
your environment, and make those marks mean something for you that's reasonable.
Right.
Not completely random, right? And don't touch anything. Treat it like a sore dick. Just don't.
Sandpaper. I mean, hey.
That was a nervous laugh.
I don't mess with it.
See? There we go.
But
it didn't happen to anybody. That's all I'm saying.
No, and you're exactly right. And I embrace both. I hunt with a second focal plane. I shoot most of my competition with a mil. But it's a language thing, too.
It is.
When I'm out in competition, most of those guys are mil shooters, so it's you can talk to each other.
Then I have to give you some credit, even though I give you some shit. You didn't let it rattle you too awfully bad. I mean, your hat didn't come off your head, and you didn't cuss too loud, and you loaded another one, and you shot
I
again.
I did. I was like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah, that's well, you were in the car, nobody could hear you. But you went right back to work, and you figured it out. And you ended up going home with meat that night, so it wasn't a total colossal failure.
Yeah, no. It was really tough to pull that Ziploc bag off the field, wasn't it?
Oh Jesus.
My gosh, it wasn't that bad. I mean, it wasn't that big, but it wasn't that bad.
It took two Ziploc bags, gallon ones even.
It'll taste just fine.
It'll be fine. I still got to go knock down an elk, so I have my chance at redemption.
And as we were processing that, I noticed that that was probably the only whitetail I've ever processed that you could probably eat with a spoon.
Yeah.
Right?
It was pretty tender.
Yeah, it'll eat nice.
Look at the cute little back straps.
She is relentless tonight.
I know.
All right, so tell me about your elk hunt coming up. I mean, horseback, you going to go do the whole thing?
No, I'm going to go sit on the feed ground and wait for one of them to cross the fence.
So you're really just going shopping for groceries.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, and I gone out once before, and I'm going with our neighbor who is a ranch manager, big ranch about 3 hours away. So I mean it's a haul to go over there, but it's not too cumbersome. But he knew we didn't draw any tags this year, so he got me on this late season one, and I was lucky enough to get a tag. And we went out last week, and it was colder than hell. It was like 15 degrees, and the game and fish had just gone through the day before and pushed all these elk off the feed ground. And we saw one. And she gave me about 3 seconds on the run. And if I would have gotten the shot off and hit her, I'm pretty sure she would have plowed right through the fence.
Nah, that'd have been bad.
It would have been bad. So I let up. And honestly, I'm not sure I would have wanted to shoot her anyway. She had been, you could tell she was spooked because she was alone. And had been running flat out for a couple of miles.
Nose
at that
in
point.
The air, mouth open.
Yeah,
let that one walk.
It'd have been pretty sour, I think.
Yeah, let that one walk. Adrenaline dumps, never good taste.
No. So, I'll go back this week and go sit there and just wait for one to cross the fence, nice and lazy like, and he'll just take a nap.
Because you can load that one in the truck with a tractor, as I understand.
That's right.
Nice.
That always sounds good till you get it home and go, well, shit, now I got to get it out of the truck.
Yeah. Yeah. Such is the plight of a hunter, though. I mean, that is what we sign up for.
I have a tractor here.
We're putting the elite groceries in the freezer.
I have a tractor here, and we've hung elk off it before.
We have.
I mean, it'll do it.
Yeah, but Brandy's mentioning a time when we didn't have a tractor to unload it with. And we had two in the back of my truck.
Yeah.
That was an afternoon of snowy.
We had to invite the
hands.
Local refrigerator to come help us get it out of the
well,
truck.
Well, and that's when you just start quartering things and hang it.
Yeah, it was a nightmare from a sheer logistics. By yourself, that's no fun.
No, which is why you should probably really not go hunt by yourself.
It's a bad plan anyway, just from a safety perspective.
Right.
It always makes it nicer to, if you have to drag that animal very far, to have somebody else helping you do that. That's kind of handy.
Yeah, a mile down a freaking hill.
I did do that too.
And who doesn't have a chunk of rope in their truck? Because if you'd had 30 feet of rope in your truck, we could have winched him out of
there. The same guy that didn't have a shovel when we got stuck in the snow, he had kayak paddles that we dug out with.
He hadn't changed seasons yet.
Had to make that veteran earn his keep that day. No, yeah, I totally went unprepared that time for snow that deep.
What about competitions? So competitions up and running, or is it too late in the season? I know there's a couple listed, but I think they're next spring.
I honestly haven't even looked. Oddly enough, since the weather kind of turned on us, I've been getting calls and emails almost every day, doing a lot of private classes. In fact, I got two lined up for the next month.
It's not a bad activity either. Get in a class.
Yeah.
The weather is going to close in. It's not conducive to precision long-range shooting.
No, but, the thing about it is, and who I was talking to today, they're like, look, I live in Jackson Hole. It's cold there a lot. So training in winter environment, in winter clothes, is actually realistic training.
It's smart, too. If it's a guy trying to get prepared to be able to be proficient, if the call is put,
mm-hmm.
That's a really good plan to actually train in the environment and the clothes you're going to be wearing most
mm-hmm.
of the time.
Mm-hmm. And I'm working with a company called Pivotal Defense out of Minnesota. We're going to start teaming up and doing some classes and some events next year.
Minnesota?
We're going to get those hammered out and scheduled. I think we're going to be doing a lot of them. We're actually looking at doing some in Utah and Colorado as well.
I think you have a class up with Brush Beater as well.
So that got rescheduled. Originally, that was supposed to be the 1st of November in North Carolina and Hurricane. So we bumped that class. Right now, we're discussing April, but I do not have a solid date on that.
Mostly because they still don't have roads.
Yeah, they don't have roads. You know,
might be a change of venue thought.
Yeah. Yeah. So I did have an interesting, I don't know how many of our listeners watch the show Reacher on Amazon.
I watch it.
But Maria Sten, the woman who plays character Neely.
Yeah.
She actually came in and did a class with me about a week and a half ago. So, and that was kind of an out of the blue. But lately that seems what I'm really getting is a lot of the out of the blue stuff. I mean, the Mexico class was completely out of the blue. And in fact, those guys called me up and want to bring a crew up here.
Well, that could be interesting.
Right now, tentatively, that's scheduled for May.
We're going to hurt their feelings because we're going to have things that they can't travel with.
Oh, we're going to have. Well, the thing about it is, though, when I went down there, they have things that we can't even have.
What are the firearms rules and regulations as it pertains to your students in Mexico?
Well, I'm going to have to provide the firearms and the ammo because they can't travel with it.
But what can they have down there?
Well, I climbed in the back of a truck and was sitting next to a machine gun. So.
That was a civilian?
Yeah.
Interesting. Just expensive to own? Or
Well, I know they're very, very expensive. He was explaining to me. So he's a distributor, does a lot of the firearms, works with a lot of the trainers. That's the guy that brought me in. And what he was explaining to me, he says, you know, I can go up, because he has a distribution center in Texas as well. And then he lives and works in Guadalajara. But he said, yeah, I can buy Glocks in the U.S. for $450. Get them imported and sell them in Mexico for $5,000. I want that markup.
Dollars?
Yes.
Not pesos?
No. $5,000.
That's a hell of a market.
Which comes out to be like 120,000 pesos.
And how many hoops and hoo-has do they have to jump through?
It's like us trying to get a suppressor or a Form 1 or a, you know... Well, for right now, for every firearm.
That's not horribly egregious right now, but and it's a process.
Yeah, and it's very, very expensive, and you have to do it for every firearm you own. However, same as like when we were in South Africa, you can buy a suppressor off out of a hardware store.
And I did.
I think you bought two of them.
I did. Yeah, I walked next door to the guy that ran the tools area. Told him what I needed them threaded to because they weren't threaded at all.
Oh, okay.
And he kind of looked at me funny when I told him 5/8 24 because that's a U.S. thread.
Right.
But he happened to have the threading and he put it in there and they mount up just fine.
Perfect.
But you can buy them right there in the hardware store and have them fitted to your firearm right there at the hardware store.
Because when we were in South Africa, if you said you were not suppressed, they kind of looked at you with the evil stare, like, how dare you?
Oh, like we treat the guy on our competition squad that's the MOA shooter and he's running a break?
Yes. I am an MOA shooter.
But you don't run a break.
I can if you would like to make me that person. Because that's the new thing. This last year we found that people weren't using suppressors because...
I never heard that conversation at the ELR match.
Yeah, they said suppressors make you less accurate now, which is totally...
I think that's crap.
Crap. But a lot of them were not suppressed last competition.
It's minute of steel, and half of that steel is like 2 minute steel.
Well, there's a lot of missing going on still, don't get me wrong. But I don't know what I don't know. I can't really even comment about suppressors versus brakes versus bare barrel.
If you're zeroed in with your suppressor.
If your bullet's stabilized and you have everything else consistent... I don't know how those apparatus would change that. I have to talk to Brian.
No, I do on my suppressor will work itself loose. So between
that's
stages.
Different. Yeah,
that's
different.
Yeah,
I tighten, so maybe that's something they're experiencing and not knowing to check.
That could be different. I'll have to give Brian a call and see what he has to say about it because he's forgotten more about in-flight ballistics than I'll ever know.
Well, and it would be an interesting test.
I wonder if he'd come on the podcast.
I bet we could get him on. Now,
which Brian? Brian's vague.
Brian Litz.
I was like, that's like saying John.
Brian.
Yeah, you know, rocket surgeon for bullets.
Well, let's get him on. We haven't had a guest in a minute.
Yeah, we need to work on that.
Yeah, we need to get him on.
Bye. Well, we have a potential guest scheduled for January. Not going to let it out of the bag yet because it's not set in stone. But
nice. I hope he's fun.
She'll be amazing.
Oh, she. All right.
Yeah, it'll be nuts. So, what else we got coming up? I mean, we got holidays coming up, which always gets a little nuts. And of course, we'll be. Let's see, we're off the air. What the last weekend in December and the first week of January?
It's the week of Christmas and the week of New Year's that we usually take our break.
Break. Yeah, you're funny.
It never seems like a real big break, but yeah, we do take one.
No, because I'm scrambling trying to put together a new intro for next year.
But this is my season, guys, to sit at my desk and be the creative genius geek about glass. So I may be spending some time doing some of that.
Yeah. And well, we got to be creative a little bit this weekend. I had a friend come up and got to build his first couple of ARs. And that's a process. It's weird. I think you and I both are at that point where you about do it blindfolded.
Pretty close. Yep.
But to walk somebody through it that's brand new, never done it before, and you actually have to think about it now. And happening to think about it, it was like, wait a minute.
If you know it well enough to teach it, you know it.
Yeah, but I usually don't have to think about it.
Right.
I just do it. And, yeah, having to slow the process down and explain everything that had to go in. And I was trying to walk him through it as he did it because, you know, his guns.
And it's very much a planning session of steps, though. You got to do them in the right order.
Yeah. Well, and I found out that you and I do things opposite because the last thing I put on is the buffer tube, and that's the first thing you put on.
Yeah, I get that shit out of the way. That's the one thing that you can launch a spring on just about as fast as anything else.
I don't know.
I get that out of the way.
The detent springs are the ones that I always launch.
Yeah, that's the one in that goes for the takedown pin.
Actually, yeah. Well, the rear one I never have a problem with. It's the front one that always gets me.
You need a better punch set.
Well, I mean, I've got it figured out now, but if I'm going to launch one, it's going to be that one.
There's a secret little hole.
I know there is, but they don't all have it.
What? I've never run across one that didn't have it.
I've had, well, all of the billet lowers that I put together, they don't have it.
Well, that's a mistake.
Yeah. And the other issue that I've run into is sometimes where that little secret hole is, I can't get the detent pushed in far enough to catch it.
You just got to hold the spring in place.
Well, you got to hold the detent in there, too.
Well, there's a lot of room there.
Wait, not much you think.
No, I always take advantage of those secret little hold and capture places.
Oh, I try to, but I've had some billet lowers that didn't have that.
That's not good.
And so it's trying to shove the spring in and the detent in and then hold it in place with a real thin flathead screwdriver while I get the takedown pin set on top. Oh, yeah.
You need to be an octopus to pull that off.
Pretty much.
Maybe because he drinks too much Monster that this is an issue.
Mm.
Maybe.
It's the only way I can keep up with the hectic schedule that you provide for me.
Oh, please.
But the one that always drives me nuts is a dust cover spring. I hate that thing. I'll put a lower together in 10 minutes, and I'll spend the next 20 fighting that stupid thing.
And maybe it's my short little Chinese fingers, but I don't fight that thing near as bad as you do.
And the biggest thing is I don't know if it's – and I haven't had such a problem. I ordered a bunch of them from Midway, and they're a little bit – I think they're a little bit higher quality steel. But some of the ones that I've gotten in kits, as soon as you try and put the, you know, a couple of spins on them to get them tensioned, they bend.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah. That's the issue I've been having.
Yeah, I've never had one bend.
I've had three of them now.
Yikes.
And it just makes me nuts. So anymore, it's like if they come in a kit, I throw them away.
Well, and that's something. If you're going to build these type of things, quality parts is a really good investment.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that much more, really, at the end of the day.
No, the spring kits are not that expensive.
Well, if you buy a quality parts, like an arm and sight, arm and armor spec kit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You buy a kit like that, you know the parts are going to be right. They're going to fit right. They're going to have that wear forever tolerance type of metallurgy. I have had kits before that are questionable whether they're going to run.
I will say on the Armin spec, and I love their kits, don't get me wrong. I've noticed on theirs, especially right away, like the takedown pin springs, they are tight.
They are.
You got to work them.
They are.
So if you do go with the Armin spec, understand that when you put those detent springs in and your takedown pins are really super tight, they will wear in and loosen up a little bit over time.
And that's okay.
Yeah. But I'd rather be a little tight to start with and then loosen up to right rather than be right away and then fall apart later.
Well, and a pro tip, when you build one, what's your round count before you go back and check tightness on everything?
300-400 rounds,
yeah,
usually.
Yeah, about 300 rounds. Okay, makes sense.
I mean, a good range session, a good day.
Yeah, because if you going to have a problem, it's going to be because something rattled loose.
Right. Well, it's called blue light Loctite.
Yeah, stop it.
No, I do. I do. I have started Loctiting my trigger screws.
Your trigger screws.
Yeah, so the anti-walk pins, because they're threaded on both sides, I have started Loctiting those because I have had those come apart.
Interesting. I've never had one come apart.
Yeah, just a little bit, just a drop is all it takes.
Well, yeah, there's not much threads there.
No, but I have had a couple of those come loose on me. So
now, have you had to service that before? Have you gone back into it?
No. Until I was cleaning. I got done. I was cleaning it, and I realized, there's not a screw head on that.
Oh.
And I don't know. It might have been one of those things where when I put the stupid thing together, I didn't get it tightened up all the way. I don't know, but. I'd be on the safe side.
At the end of the day, dude, shit happens. Blue Loctite's not bad. Use it sparingly in places. And don't use the red.
No.
Your gunsmith will hate you later. I guarantee it. Don't use the red.
I have used red on some of my M-Lock stuff. That I just, even with the blue, I had problems with it loosening or whatever, especially on like my forward grips.
Yeah,
because
they get
torque, they get used a lot. And I have had problems with those loosening up, so I have changed to the red for those.
And I've watched you run your AR a little bit, and there's a reason they come loose. You're hard on that shit.
Well, it's tool.
It is.
That's the training that I do. That's the practice that I do. You run it hard because when it counts, you're going to be running it hard.
You don't run it near as hard as you would if you were in a defense of your life type of situation.
No, probably not. But
enough to flush out any problems, for sure.
No, I know if something's going to break. Mm-hmm. But that's just it. I mean, and you talk to anybody who shoots any amount at all, and they're going to tell you, how do you wring out a gun? You shoot the crap out of it.
Well, as the weather closes in, I'm going to change gears on you just a little bit. Dry fire exercises have come a long way.
Yes.
There are tools out there now, so you can stay inside, run mechanics, run trigger discipline. You've got that Mantis.
Mm-hmm. I have the Mantis both. I have the Mantis X and I have the Blackbeard. I use the X in conjunction with a cert pistol.
Interesting.
And the combination of those two is phenomenal for trigger work.
But you can get thousands of evolutions of mechanics, holster work, fire work that you don't have to spend any ammo for.
Right.
And you can do it from the comfort of your living room.
Right.
So as the winter comes, the things we talk about going and doing, stay home. Do some dry fire exercises.
Right.
Not a bad plan.
And use that pocket in your tidy whities as a holster.
It's not a pocket. She claims she can store something in there. What?
Well, I mean, I store a cannon, but...
Oh, my God.
Like we all said, men can't measure.
inch. Just because I
word means what you think.
Just because I taught you centimeters.
It doesn't get any bigger if you change the unit of measure.
No, but she doesn't know that.
Oh, really?
Oh, there we go. There it is.
No.
Let's just say we might have to file a Form 1 for yours.
All right.
Oh, shots fired. Oh, my God. That's brilliant.
Short barrels, you know, hey. That's the end thing now. Everybody wants the short barrel.
Fully automatic short barrel. Not all those things you want in the bedroom. Just saying.
On that note.
On that note, what are you drinking?
I've climbed into the rye tonight. Oh. The 10th Mountain Rye. And I continually praise these guys. You got Ryan, Brian, Jeremy over there at 10th Mountain. They're making great whiskey. And they continue to. And it just, every bottle seems to get better.
It punches way above its weight class for dollar, for
yes,
ounce.
Yes.
For the flavor and the smoothness of it. It's actually kind of profound.
It's amazing. We actually, over the weekend, we got into their vodka and made a couple of martinis.
Is that what made you sleepy on Saturday?
No, this was Sunday.
Oh.
No, Saturday, I don't know what we climbed into, but we climbed into a lot of it.
Oh, my God. All right.
Don't forget, they increased our coupon code.
So what is that now?
If Deer Shooter is the coupon code.
All one word.
15% off.
15, and they'll deliver.
If your state allows.
Yeah, we found out that Utah does not allow that.
So I'm about ready to place an order. So at least the coupon's going to get used by me.
Right. No, we need.
I think everyone should use it. Christmas is coming.
It is.
Gosh, dang right. Christmas is coming.
And it is. And I think we all have that problem in this day and age. Like, everybody has everything. If they want something, they go get it. Getting gifts for people anymore is just a headache.
I've transitioned. I don't buy stuff as much. I'll buy experience.
Right.
I'll charter a boat and we'll go fishing. I will send somebody that I'm not going to get together with a good bottle so they can experience something nice.
Right.
It's not about stuff.
No, I think anymore, you know, a good bottle of whiskey and a pack of cigars, that makes a great gift. You know, for those ladies that you can't figure out what to get, you know, get their cordial. 10th Mountain has a great cordial that, you know,
that
somebody's got a sweet tooth.
I got into the cordial at Summit, and it's good.
It gets you in trouble, too. Because that'll sneak up on you. So, we sat here, and we watched the election, and I think emotions ran a little high.
It wasn't anything other than the reporting. I think the election process was one of the better run that I've seen in years.
It was. Arizona needs to get their shit together. Hey, Arizona, get your shit together.
There's no reason in the world that this day and age you can't show up to the poll with your ID.
Right.
Get your ballot, fill it out, and run it through the machine and let it count it. And that information should be sent immediately.
Immediately.
And I think it's sent at the end. When they do send at the end of their poll, they close down. But why is it they can't hit send when their poll closes down, no one's in there, just go.
Like they're trying to cook the books.
Right.
That's all the delay of reporting does. It looks like they're cooking the books.
And at this point, I mean, Arizona took, what, like 4 days? I think they finally reported and they were, you know, but when they were still like, we don't know yet, it wouldn't have mattered.
Well, and for me, I want to see the election process get fixed because we need to be able to trust it again. And one of the big steps for that, I know it's going to be a pain, but the mail-in ballots have got to stop.
Yes, I agree.
Now, there are some places.
There are some special circumstances.
There are some places. Yes, there are.
No, there's
military.
Where my mother is, they do not have a polling site. They're all mail-in ballots.
So drive.
Or get a polling site.
To where? Lincoln? Drive 8 hours?
Scotts Bluff, Gearing, they've got a polling site.
Or just get a polling
out
site.
Out of district.
There.
Or they may have rules about out of district.
But you can go to a poll.
Or they can get a poll. Yeah, or they can get a poll there.
And the mail-in ballot stuff's gotta go. It's the number one way you can fraudulently cook an election.
Mm-hmm.
We had a guy that recently got 7 mail-in ballots delivered to his door, and each of them had a different number.
Right.
That invites shenanigans. Stop mm-hmm. it. Right? Show the ID. Do it in person. And if you can't figure that out, don't vote.
No.
Or go someplace where you can.
I agree with you. And I think the only ones that should have a valid mail-in ballot is military.
Even then, though.
They should be able to vote on base and capture it.
Absolutely right.
I mean.
They should be able to vote on base and capture it just like any other polling place.
Right. Yeah. All it is just.
And they can run early voting for those who will deploy.
Now, I do yes. I do like the early voting. I don't have a problem
fine.
With that as long as it's in person.
Do it in person with your ID.
Yes.
And an interesting map I saw, and I don't know if it was an AP map or what, but it indicated that all of the blue states, all of them, either didn't require an ID or actually had it illegal for you to ask for
yes,
ID.
And I saw that too, and they said that
but every single one of them.
Yeah, every state that Kamala won did not require an ID.
Well, and I think those were also the states where they got 120% voters.
Right.
Now, that stat I've dug into. So they're looking at from previous years of voting populace.
Why isn't that listed on who's registered?
It should be, but that's not how they've done it historically.
Well, and there
that
are a lot of places. Change. Yeah, there's a lot of places you can register when you go to vote.
So what they're counting that night, when you see that 127% of the votes, that's contrast to previous years. All that's showing you is that more people have gone out to vote. It's not about registered voters, and I think it should be. Registered voters in those states, that should be your 100%.
And agreed.
If only 85% of those registered voters voted, that's the number, not 127% of who voted last year.
Right.
Because there's a lot of folks that were disenchanted, disenfranchised, didn't think their vote mattered, and they stayed home. There's a lot of those folks.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of ways, I kind of don't blame them based off last time shenanigans.
Right.
But that stat you're talking about is based off of previous years.
Most of those are all blue states.
Agreed. I totally agree. I'm just saying that number, you asked about that the night of the election, and so I looked up how that was being reported. And that one actually makes sense to me. It's still wrong, but the way that they're doing it made sense.
Well,
and I don't understand, like, the end of your polling. The state of Wyoming closes polls at 7 p.m. At 7:07, Wyoming reported in because they all hit go.
Yep.
There's no reason why these other states that hung on for 24 hours hit go.
2 days.
It's freaking, it's over.
That's right.
You've shut the doors. People have left. Hit go, pack your shit, and go home.
I agree.
And I get the ones where there's still people in line, so they have to keep the polls open a little bit later. But
yeah, but it's not 48 hours.
No, it's not.
Maybe they're open an extra hour.
Right, exactly. And even Florida, I think they reported within 45 minutes. You know, they've got their things together. And I think one of the things, you know, you're talking about election reform, and I think one of the things that needs to happen is anything, okay, fine, state level, county level, you guys can do what the hell you want. But if it is a federal position, so Congress, Senate, President, you need to show ID. And that needs to be a federal law.
And I'm all for showing an ID, but I think it needs to be done for everything.
I do too.
If you're going to make it a process, make it standard.
Right. I totally agree, but you know I'm going to give the caveat that the states and the counties and the municipalities, if they don't want to require ID for their voting, fine, but you got to have an ID if it's a federal position.
I really don't think so. I think you need to be a citizen to vote. That is one of
well, you're supposed to be
right. Otherwise, we turn into Mexico or Guatemala or whatever because they get to vote what they want.
But you get one ballot, and they're putting all of that on it. So,
right. Just show
just
ID.
Show ID.
Just show ID.
There's no harm in saying I am who I say I am.
Right.
None at all.
Right. And I think that's the biggest thing.
And this bullshit about it disenfranchises the impoverished inner city folks. It's bullshit.
Really? Since Georgia started doing it, they've had record turnouts every time.
Yep. No, those folks have ID just like everybody else.
They have to.
They have to. Just like everybody else.
Right.
Show ID. So another, back to shooting sports on this deal. I have learned that those campaign signs that are hung everywhere, right?
Make great backers.
They make great target backers. And if you call the campaign and ask, 99.9% of the time they're going to say, yeah, take it.
Yep.
They can't do anything with it.
Yep.
And they're supposed to come around and collect it. So all you did was save them a spot.
Correct. So if you need some target backers, call the folks who have the name on the sign and ask.
Mm-hmm.
And most likely they'll let you have that sign.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because, what are they going to do with it?
Just clean up your mess when you're done.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. And a lot of those, I think, are actually, they make better backers because of that plasticized corrugated. And they're great.
They don't fall apart like paper does.
Yeah, in the rain.
Yeah. No, they're good.
They are fantastic. And they seem to last a little bit longer than like regular cardboard.
Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for a backer for a target, call the folks with a name on it.
Yep.
They'll give it to you.
No, that's a good tip. So one of the things, and you caught this, another bonehead thing. So I had built a stand for my press, for my reloading press.
Oh, yeah.
And you noticed it was hitting. So it wasn't making a full thing.
Just watching your process one day.
And it was like, I never even thought of that. So I actually took the time, cut that out so it doesn't happen anymore.
Good. Now you have to change all your dies.
Yeah, I do have to change all of my dies now, but that's okay.
They'll be set right, though.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that I'll have a little bit better consistency because I noticed I was always having to kind of tweak things a little bit to get it all right.
Yeah, they built that cam over in that handle for a reason.
Yeah, and I didn't even cross my mind because I've been loading like that for 10 years. And my ammo's been good.
Well, it's everything went bang and nothing blew up.
No, and it's all been pretty consistent. Good SDs, and the only problems I've ever had with ammo is factory.
Dude, I got to tell you, I ran a box of Federal Gold Medal Match 300 Win Mag the other day, and just because I didn't have anything loaded on my own. I had an SD of 3.
Yeah.
In 10 rounds. Of factory ammo.
Yeah, but factory ammo is getting a lot more consistent.
I was impressed.
Yeah.
I can't reload for that level of consistency most of the time on my own.
No, and I've been really, really impressed with Federal's, their terminal ascent. I think I'm getting an SD of like 9 out of that.
Anything below 10 is great.
Right. It's like 8.5, 9. I mean, it's been great, which is why I couldn't figure out why the hell I missed that deer. Like, it's not the ammo.
It was not the ammo. No, sir. Because you did it exactly the same twice.
Yeah, and it was. It was exactly 12 inches high. And then when I did the math on it and turned the turret back, it went, yep.
Yep.
So, yeah, check your turrets.
Good plan.
It used to be one of those things that I thought about because, you know, gun rattling around in the case or whatever, sometimes the turret would spin a little bit. I was using one of your scopes as locking turret.
Right.
So it's not something I think about.
No, somebody did it. Yeah. you just had to check it before you went to,
I didn't.
To do something.
I didn't. Why would I?
But you tell everybody to check your stuff before you go shooting.
You know what? Do what I say, not what I do.
Spoken like an instructor right there.
Hey, at least I give them a reason. Let me explain why. Because I did something stupid.
Well, almost all of your teaching moments come from a level of experience of, yeah, I screwed that up.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sorry if you haven't. You haven't done it enough.
The level of mistakes I've made, I should be a genius by now.
Well, yeah.
I'm not. But I've made enough mistakes to be one.
Well, we were talking with our friend that came up and he had screwed something up and we both looked at him and went, you want to see the boxes of crap that I've screwed up? Yeah. I mean, it happens.
Because of all my scripts, there's something there that's salvageable or that's worth looking at and keeping. And in that regard, I'm a pack rat. Uh-huh. I admit it. But yeah, I have boxes of things that.
You're a whole pack kangaroo. They need to see your shit.
Get out of my pouch.
It's not a pocket.
He definitely hides something in it.
I might. I might. No, but you're absolutely right. I am pack kangaroo.
And on that
note. That's a t-shirt. I'm going to make one.
Yeah. On that note, be happy. Go have fun. Get out, take a class, go do a competition. Let some of the stress out. And if you screw it up, don't blame the gun.